Colossians chapter 3, and I wish, you know, just for time constraints, I'll not read all of this chapter. It deals with a variety of things, but I have one thing that I'm going to hopscotch just a little bit, but I want to do one thing here, and so we'll not read the entirety of the chapter. Chapter 3 of Colossians, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Now, just reading across that, you'll see very quickly that it's talking about the Savior. It's telling us that he is sitting on the Father's right hand, and you and I ought to pay some attention to what's going on there, and we ought to seek out the things that are there that we can have now and that will prepare us for when we go there. And it tells us, verse 4 says, Christ is our life, and one day he will appear, and then we'll appear with him in glory. Now, all of that is the result of him coming, being birthed at Bethlehem, becoming the Savior, and us receiving him by faith. When we put our trust in the crucified and risen Christ who purchased salvation for us, when we put our trust in him, he makes that ours, makes it available to us, and we say, thereby, we're born into the family of God, we're saved. All of that is true. Now, drop down to verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, the early part of that verse tells me that what Christ purchased on the cross and in his resurrection and what he is willing to do now, he makes available to every single living, breathing person. Everybody. It is available. Now, he's not going to force it on anybody, but it is available. He wants us to voluntarily put our trust in him, and if we will do that, then he provides for any one of us what he has provided for a lot of others. And so this lays it out very clearly. I mean, typically, the way, you know, we might say it, hey, he makes it available to male and female. He makes it available, red, yellow, black, brown, and white. He makes it available to Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, I mean, whoever in the world. I mean, it doesn't matter the language, your ethnicity, your wealth or lack of it. It doesn't matter. Whoever you are, he makes it available to you. And the last part of that verse 11 says, but Christ is all and in all. I'll come back to that in a minute. Drop down and look also at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So those verses tell me some things about what happens after that we make our decision to come to Christ. Yeah, does it reward us? Yes, it does, believe me. Is there an inheritance? Yes, there is. We become heirs of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And as a result of that, heaven is our home whenever we come and when we have the Savior. But I come back to that 11th verse and right at the last of it where it says, but Christ is all and in all. You know, if you look at the hymn book sometime, you'll discover there are a lot of the songs in the hymnal that are about the Savior. I like a lot of the songs, but especially I think the ones that give me something about the Lord Jesus are ones I especially like to sing. Nobody's ever accused me of being a singer, but I sing anyway. And I love those great songs about the Savior. They just tell us things, and it helps to warm us up in our heart when we sing the songs about the Lord Jesus. And that 16th verse said we are to admonish one another and teach one another with hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So all of that we get. Now, when I look at this passage that tells me that Christ is all and in all, that tells me that in reality, he is everything I need. He is the whole package. He is everything I need that will serve me, to lead me and guide me and help me as long as I live in this life and beyond the veil of death out into the next life. The fact is, when death comes, we're not done. There's more to come. And we have the choice. We can use this life to make ready and go to heaven, or if we don't, there is an awful place called hell. And you say, what do I have to do to go to hell? You don't have to do anything. Just don't do what you need to do, and that will be, and I mean, it's like it's automatic. But in order to go to heaven, because we're all sinners, and because sin does separate us from the right relationship with God, we do need the Savior. This passage tells me that Christ is all and in all. Now you say, what all does that include? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about the Lord Jesus. It tells me, for one thing, that he's all in relation to creation. How did we get here? Well, we didn't. I'll tell you this. Your grandpa or your grandpa's grandpa was not a protozoa. Your grandpa's grandpa was not some little one-celled animal in the creek somewhere. You say you're trying to tell me we did not evolve from anything? You did not evolve from anything. That's exactly right. Take a telescope, take a microscope, look up, look down, either way you want to look, and the testimony of creation is everywhere. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 3 that all things, talking about Christ, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when you read in the Bible in Genesis where God the Father says, let us, who's the us? Well, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were all involved in the creation. The Bible makes that very clear. And here in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You say, by him all things consist? Yes, it's the reason why that you can Google and ask the question, what minute will the sun come up 100 years from now? And they can already tell you exactly to the minute when the sun will come up on this 12th day of December 100 years from now, or when it'll go down exactly to the minute. They can tell you all of that. They can tell you also a lot of other things about the various heavenly bodies, the planets and the stars and things. They can tell you a lot about that because it is programmed. It is orderly. Very orderly. So much so that somebody designed it. Somebody ordered it. And the Bible tells us, of course, that it was him. So what do we have in reference to creation? Well, everything you need to know about creation begins with a creator. And the Lord Jesus was the creator. Whenever you think about the prophecies of the Old Testament, once again, you say Christ is all and in all. He is in regard to prophecy. You read the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, and place after place after place, it will tell you things about the coming Christ. It'll tell you that he was to be virgin born. It'll tell you that he was to be born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, where everybody would have said, great city of the king has to be there. No, the Lord said in the Old Testament it would be Bethlehem. So the little village of Bethlehem, 5 miles out of Jerusalem, was indeed the place where he was born. All of those prophecies, many of them in the Old Testament, you say, how did that all come about? Well, God gave it to us in his word through those prophets in years past. And Acts 10:43 says to him, give all the prophets witness. All the prophets testify of the Savior. So whenever you think about the prophetic message of the Old Testament, what, how is it fulfilled? It's fulfilled in the person of Christ. So Christ is all and in all in reference to creation, in reference to prophecy. In fact, he is all in history. In history. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word talking about the Lord Jesus. Now the title for him. So he was at the very outset of human history, and everything started with him. Not only history past, but God's revealing the future. Christ is all in reference to Revelation. The Bible says in John chapter 1 again that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, grace and truth, yes, we need to know the truth about all of this. Well, how do we get the truth? We listen to him. He created the world. Those prophecies that he gave all came true. We might ought to listen to what he's got to say about the future. And so, yes, he gave us the truth about himself and salvation and what it takes to get it and all that. And he does so by his grace. Grace is him giving us something we don't deserve. It's God being generous to us when we don't have anything to give in return. So how do we get grace? How do we get truth? The Bible says grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. Not only that, but I can say to you that Christ is all and in all in relation to his birth in Bethlehem, what we refer to as the incarnation. That word incarnation just means that he's been put in human flesh. And so the Bible tells us, John 1:14, the Word, or Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace. All of that we see, in fact, Hebrews chapter 2 says, but we see Jesus. And we see him in his incarnation, and we see that the fulfillment of every prophecy is embodied in the birthing of the Lord Jesus at Bethlehem. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. I got a letter from a guy, I don't know what it's been now, maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago now. In fact, some of you that are listening on the radio, local radio here and hear my broadcast every day, I did a whole week based around this guy's letter. He sent me a letter and he said, why in the world do y'all make such an ado about Jesus? Well, that's a pretty easy question to answer. But I took a whole week. I don't know whether it's airing this week, probably airing right about now. I just said, why do we make so much ado about Jesus? Well, there's a lot of good reason for that. Part of what I'm trying to say to you this morning. The Bible says Christ is all and in all. That's also true in relation to the atonement. You say, well, what does that atonement have to do? Well, the atonement is what the word we use to describe the payment that Christ made. He made a payment for our sin, paid the debt that we owed. The little song says, you know, we owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. But he paid on our behalf what we owed. The Bible lays that out very clearly, how that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he arose from the grave. All of that on our behalf. Not to make himself some hero, but on our behalf. And when he did that, and when the day comes that you're willing to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, I mean, you're risking time and eternity, you're risking everything in sense. You're saying, I want to go to heaven, and if I go to heaven, it's going to be because of what Jesus did and what he's going to do for me, and I'm going to trust him for that. When you do that, I'm telling you, the atonement gets applied to you, and the sin debt that you owe will be canceled. You get a full pardon. You get a full pardon from the Lord. When it comes to the matter of salvation, Christ is all in all. Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You're not going to get it being good. As much as you might say, well, look, I'll shape up. I'll start doing everything the Bible says do, or I'll try to. You can do that all day long, all night long, all year long, all life long, and you still will have the sin debt. You realize you had a sin debt before you ever sinned? Because, see, we're born sinners with the nature to sin. The reason we ultimately sin is because that's who we are. We're sinners from the get-go. We have a nature to sin. And because we have that nature to sin, it won't be long till we do. And so we not only have the nature to sin, but we have the practice of sin. And that puts us in jeopardy, puts us in a position that we can't handle. It's like, what can I do? Well, not anything you can do to solve that for yourself. You might try. You say, well, I'll just pitch in some money. You can't do it with money. Money cannot buy the cancellation of your sin debt. But Jesus, who was the perfect God-man, Jesus made the payment. And when he made the payment, he paid the whole debt. That's the reason we sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed us white as snow. So yes, he is all in relation to salvation. He's all in relation to our Christian life. The Bible uses the word sanctification, talking about us just getting set apart. A lot of folks struggle with coming to Christ because they say, well, I don't know whether I could live the Christian life or not. Well, the fact that I can probably help you and just tell you, without the Lord's help, I'm going to tell you, you probably can't. But if you come to Christ and begin to learn his way, he will help you to be a Christian in your daily walk. And we all need that. We all need that. It's not any of us. Not any of us can just brace up and say, hey, I'm going to do this and I can handle it. No, you can't. But the Lord helps us. Imagine you have a new baby born here in the church, and the folks come in first week or two, and they say, well, you know, whenever that kid learns how to behave, we'll bring him to church and we'll get him out. In the meantime, we're going to keep him locked up at home. You wouldn't think that's so hot. Well, it wouldn't be. And the fact of the matter is, my children were growing up, they embarrassed me a few times. Say, how'd they do that? They misbehaved in public. I can't imagine any of you would ever have that problem, but we did. Now, Christian life, you come to Christ, you're not going to have everything in place. But as you begin to learn the ways of the Lord, little by little by little, you grow in the Lord. It's the way it works for all of us. So Christ is all in all in relation to our Christian life. He's all in all in relation to judgment. And I do have to tell you, there is judgment coming. You say, I'll just go do what I want to do, live my life, go out and live in the world, do whatever pleases me. Yep, but you're going to have to face the Lord one day. There are two big judgments. The great white throne judgment is where unsaved people go. They'll already be headed for hell. Their destination's already settled. The day you die, your destination's settled. But that judgment, that great white throne judgment, will be to determine the degree of punishment that's handed. It's a horrible thing. The other judgment, which is the one you want to be at, is called the judgment seat of Christ. And again, your being there is not that you're going to heaven. If you're at that judgment, you're going to heaven. But that judgment will be to determine the rewards the Lord will give for how we've handled things in this life after we say it. Now, so yes, there is a judgment, and Christ is involved in both of those. He will be at both to deal with the things that need to be dealt with. And Christ is all in reference to all of the things future, all of the things that are coming, all that final things drama that takes place and unfolds in the book of Revelation. Christ is very much all in all in relation to that. We read about the great tribulation. We say, whew, don't want to be there. Well, if you're saved, you won't be. But step by step, even the Battle of Armageddon, all of those things about the Revelation lays out, all of that, Christ is everything in regard to that. So folks, I've just I've just wanted to say to you this morning what this verse says. Christ is all and in all. He's all in life. He's all in death. He's all in eternity. For your family, I'm telling you. If you're married or about to be, you need the Lord. If you have young children, you need the Lord. By the way, if you have children and you love them, I think you'd think about doing everything you can to get them exposed to the things of the Lord so that they'll be ready for heaven as well. So Jesus is all in all, life, death, eternity, best for your family, best for everything that you are. That's why we sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. So I read this passage, and it tells me Christ is everything. He is everything in one big package. He is everything I need. He is everything that'll help. He'll help us when we're living on the mountain. He'll help us when we're walking through the valley. When the burdens are heavy, when sorrows come, when tragedy strikes, He'll be there. Just last month, one of my wife's nephews, 45 years of age, was killed in a tree cutting accident. I went up to Paducah and had the funeral, conducted the funeral. We were all shaken. Young man, fine young man, 45 years of age, and was crushed and killed instantly. Such a tragic, tragic thing. One thing I was so glad I'd talked to him about 10 years ago. Gave me assurance that he was saved. And I have no doubt that he's in heaven because of that. Now, I've had to do some funerals through the years when I was pretty sure the person was not ready. And that's tough. That is difficult, difficult, difficult. But I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus does make a difference because He is everything. And I want to introduce Him to you. I want to recommend Him to you. He's never disappointed me. I've stood at the bedside by any number of people at the moment of their dying. And I've never yet heard a Christian say, "Man, I wish I hadn't gotten saved." No. No, every single time, the last lucid moments that they have, they'll tell you they're thankful. They're grateful. They're headed for heaven. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, if you don't have it settled, you can get it settled today. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. We're going to bow our heads and pray. There'll be some music. Pastor will be here at the front to meet folks. And first of all, if you need to come to Christ, He's right here. Somebody will sit down with you with an open Bible, and in a matter of a couple of minutes, show you what I've given you and make it clear to you so you'll know exactly what you're doing and how to do it and get it settled. It's available to everybody. I had a fellow ask me, he said, "What's it going to cost?" I said, "Well, the price of it's already been paid. Doesn't cost you anything because Jesus did pay the entire debt." And so I want you to know freely and fully you can have what the Lord offers if you'll just simply let us help you get that done. Our heads are bowed. We look to the Lord in prayer. Maybe somebody here for other reasons. You may want to find your way to the altar this morning. Maybe some that want to come and join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're saved and baptized. You're willing to be. You slip out and find your way. The pastor's here to help you. Dear Lord, I do pray for every person in this room. I pray that all of us during this Christmas season will draw closer to you. And I pray, dear Lord, that anyone in this room who yet needs to receive the Savior, that this 12th of December would be the day when they're birthed into the family. And Lord, I'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name.